Now, brethren and sisters, I'm delighted to be with you tonight and have this opportunity of speaking to you before I leave the city. As you likely know, I'll be traveling tonight, and we would value prayer for gospel meetings. Brother Brian Owen of St. Lucia and I, we will be commencing gospel meetings in Guelph, Ontario, on Lord's Day evening. We would value your prayers for that, that the Lord will come in and reach and save. If I could mention just one name, you would easily remember the name. A dear man, his name is Albert Lister. Albert's wife is in the assembly. Albert is about 60, 64, 65 years of age. He's more like a Christian than a lot of folk that profess faith in Christ. He never misses a meeting except the prayer meeting before the gospel meeting. It's the only meeting he ever misses. He's at the Bible reading, the prayer meeting. If there's any job to be done around the hall, Albert, you'll find him there. I can remember when I first went to Guelph many, many years ago. This will be my third series of gospel meetings in Guelph. When I went there many years ago to have gospel meetings, the brethren told me they said you'll be stopping with a Mr. and Mrs. Lister. And they said, Mr. Lister isn't saved. I said, will he not resent the preacher coming to stop there? And Brother Aiken said, he would resent it if you went anyplace else. That brother was working in the remand home in Guelph. Was working in the remand home in Guelph, and he was on the early morning shift, and the first afternoon when he came home, around about lunchtime, he said, now Jack, he said, I'm available, my car's available, and I'll take you any place you want if you want to do any visitation. I've talked to Albert many a time, and he would say, no, I'm not saved. Will you pray for Albert, that the Holy Spirit of God might arrest him? He knows he's a sinner. You would hardly believe, but I know on authority when he goes, he's still working, when he goes to his work, the only literature he'll take to read is Truth and Tidings or Words in Season, magazines like that. That's his only literature. Do pray for Albert, please. Our preaching will never reach him, but the Holy Spirit of God can. And if you would just mention Albert in your prayers daily, we would deeply appreciate it. Now, I want to read to you a little thought has been exercising my heart for these last few days. It's not by chance that prayer request that was mentioned in the conference was mentioned tonight again for the lonely folk, and that dear sister, lonely. And I've been thinking of this all over the conference. Opportunity just didn't arise to give this little message, but it's been on my heart all over the conference period, and I want to discharge that responsibility and that exercise tonight. So I want you to read with me in the book of Joshua and in chapter 1. Joshua chapter 1, please, and verse 1. Now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise, go over this Jordan. Now, if I were going to borrow a phrase or a text for my message tonight, it would be found in verse 2, over this Jordan. Arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. Verse 5, there shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. Be strong and of a good courage. For unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. Verse 10, then Joshua commanded the officers of the people, saying, pass through the host, and command the people, saying, prepare you victuals, for within 3 days ye shall pass over this Jordan, to go in to possess the land which the Lord your God giveth you to possess it. Now, chapter 3, please. These first two chapters are more or less preparations for crossing Jordan, and now the actual time comes. Chapter 3. And Joshua arose early in the morning, and they removed from Shittim and came to Jordan, he and all the children of Israel, and lodged there before they passed over. And it came to pass after 3 days that the officers went through the host. And they commanded the people, saying, when ye see the ark of the covenant of the Lord your God, and the priests, the Levites, bearing it, then ye shall remove from your place and go after it. Yet there shall be a space between you and it, about 2,000 cubits by measure. Come not near unto it, that ye may know the way by which ye must go. For ye have not passed this way heretofore. And Joshua said unto the people, sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. And Joshua spake unto the priests, saying, take up the ark of the covenant, and pass over before the people. And they took up the ark of the covenant, and went before the people. Now down a little bit further. Verse 14, and it came to pass when the people removed from their tents to pass over Jordan, and the priests bearing the ark of the covenant before the people, as they that bear the ark were come unto Jordan, and the feet of the priests that bear the ark were dipped in the brim of the water, for Jordan overfloweth all his banks all the time of harvest. Verse 17, and the priests that bear the ark of the covenant of the Lord stood firm on dry ground in the midst of Jordan. And all the Israelites passed over on dry ground until all the people were passed clean over Jordan. Then in chapter 4, we have the children of Israel going through the Jordan, and we have in verses 6 and 7, we have there where the 12 stones were taken out of Jordan. And then in verse number 9, we have the 12 stones that were set up in the midst of Jordan. And now we come to verse 15. And the Lord spake unto Joshua, saying, command the priests that they bear the ark of the testimony, that bear the ark of the testimony, that they come out of Jordan. Verse 19, and the people came up out of Jordan on the 10th day of the first month, and encamped in Gilgal on the east border of Jericho. Now I want you to turn back, please, to the book of Numbers and to chapter 32. Numbers chapter 32 and verse number 1. Now the children of Reuben and the children of Gad had a very great multitude of cattle, and when they saw the land of Jezer and the land of Gilead, that behold, the place was a place for cattle. The children of Gad and the children of Reuben came and spake unto Moses and Eleazar the priest, and unto the princes of the congregation, saying, verse number 5, wherefore said they, if we have found grace in thy sight, let this land be given unto thy servants for a possession, and bring us not over Jordan. And Moses said unto the children of Gad and the children of Reuben, shall your brethren go to war, and shall ye sit here? And wherefore discourage ye the heart of the children of Israel from going over into the land which the Lord hath given them? Thus did your fathers when I sent them from Kadesh Barnea to see the land. Now just a verse or two in chapter 34 will conclude our reading. Verse number 14. For the tribe of the children of Reuben, according to the house of their fathers, and the tribe of the children of Gad, according to the house of their fathers, having received their inheritance, and half the tribe of Manasseh having received their inheritance, the 2.5 tribes having received their inheritance on this side of Jordan, near Jericho, eastward, toward the sunrise. Now the Lord will bless to our hearts this reading from His precious Word. We will see if we have opportunity or time to get to these latter portions that we read. In any case, we'll make reference to them because they are most important. I want you to think, my brethren and sisters, of this little statement that we have here in the book of Joshua chapter 1 and in two verses in that first chapter, the little statement over this Jordan. Now, I want you to think of this in a very simple way tonight. And I want you to think of it as your personal Jordan. Now, I'll explain that in a little while. When I say your personal Jordan, I mean my personal Jordan as well. Because the children of Israel were going over this Jordan. They were going to have a new experience, an experience that they never had before. It was going to be an experience that was vital to them. And I'm sure it was with fear in their hearts as they listened to God's commands, because I believe the words that were spoken to Joshua in chapter 1 especially were applicable to all the children of Israel. And now God would say over this Jordan, we read how the Jordan overflows its banks at this particular time when the children of Israel were going to have to go over, facing a new experience, a new land. something a way that they had never gone before. And you know, my brethren and sisters, each one of us, we know that in our lives there are Jordans. There are Jordans continually, new experiences. And it is only as we have our confidence in God that we can face our personal Jordans and we can know victory there. We could be like the tribe of Gad and of Reuben and half the tribe of Manasseh and not face the situation. But you know, the Lord has better things for us if we are prepared to put our hand in His and be subject to His leadings. As I thought of your personal Jordans and mine, I thought of such a variety of situations, new experiences that would cross our Christian pathway. There are many dear saints of God, and names have been mentioned at this conference season, and we have seen it many, many times when a Jordan of sickness has crossed their paths. Their lives were going on a pretty even keel, and then there was some sickness, and one of the partners maybe went to the doctor, and they were told that they had a terminal illness. Oh yes, a Jordan, a very deep Jordan. And you know, many of us have had the experience of losing loved ones. And what a Jordan experience that was. Sometimes in a financial way, businessmen. I remember one dear brother. He had his Jordan. He was a successful businessman in Ireland, and through no fault of his own, he was subcontracting to a very large firm, and that large firm collapsed, and he collapsed with it. It was his personal Jordan, and he had to go over it, he had to go through it. But do you know that dear man came out of that Jordan a stronger man than he went in? He came out a real man of God. And the outcome of all that was that dear brother left the shores of Ireland a few years later and went out to serve the Lord in Africa, and he died on African soil. The crossing of his Jordan was a real blessing to him. And you know, sometimes even in our assemblies, our beloved brethren have the solemn responsibility of facing Jordans that arise. Oh yes, my brethren and sisters, I would believe that you'll see a little now of what's on my mind in relation to this. It is your Jordan and mine. The children of Israel now were about to head for Jordan, an unknown experience. They were going to tread a path that they had not trodden before. They were going to have experiences that they never had before. But I want you to think of what verse number 5 says. The Lord, ere He sends them over this Jordan, He has a message for them. He says, I will be with thee. He says, I will not fail thee. He says, I will not forsake thee. And in verse 7 of chapter 3, he says, I will begin to magnify thee. And my dear brother, my dear sister, no matter what our Jordans are, and be well assured, the Jordans will come. Oh, they'll come all right. If we only knew what direction the Jordans may come from, we could be prepared for them. But the Jordans will come. But with this Jordan and with our Jordans, thank God we have the promises and the consolations of God. He says, I will be with thee. He says, I will not fail thee. He says, I will not forsake thee. He says, I will begin to magnify thee. And I want you to see, my brethren and sisters, how that the children of Israel prove God in the Jordan, in their Jordan. How that they had happy experiences as they faced their Jordan. Now God's command comes over this Jordan, and as we read in verse number 3, there is going to be victory. Because God has said in the 3rd verse, every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given you, as I said unto Moses. So in the experience of their Jordan, if they were going to be faithful, because as we read the further verses of chapter 1, and I haven't time to read those tonight, or to speak about them, only to say this, in the measure that they were faithful to God and to the things of God, in the measure that they were guided by the Word of God, the Book of God, in that measure their Jordan experience was going to be a blessing to them. Because you see, in God's purpose, victory was already assured. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, God says, that have I given unto thee. Not I will give thee, I have given unto thee. It's nice to think, my brethren and sisters, that God's commands are always his enablings. It's good to remember that. And young brother, young sister tonight, it's good for you to remember this, that God's commands to you are always his enablings for you. Because although you're young, you will have your Jordans. You will have that Jordan when you leave school and you have the choice of a career to make. And yet you can be assured that when you come to that Jordan, the promises of God are yea and amen in Christ Jesus. And the Lord would say to you, I will be with thee. I will not fail thee. I will not forsake thee. I will begin to magnify thee. Oh, can't you confidently then, as you face a new experience, as you face your Jordan, can't you confidently put your hand in the hand of the Lord and say, as it were, Lord, you lead on, I can trust you. And you know, my dear brethren and sisters, the children of Israel had every right to trust the Lord. As the Lord would say to them now over this Jordan, it wasn't the first command that the Lord had given them. It was not the first time that they had followed blindly his direction. And every time that they had, they had proved God, even in the promises that I have reiterated to you several times already. I can remember on more than one occasion in the West Indies, my wife and I up against problems that we had no answer for. And it's not the first times on our knees that we said, well, Lord, you sent us here. You see, that is the beauty of being satisfied that you are in the will of God. If you're going at your own charges, oh, what an awful tragedy when the Jordan comes. But when you have that confidence, beloved, that you are guided by the Lord. And many a time we were down on our knees and we had to say, Lord, we just don't know what to do. But you sent us here. And we are just handing this over to you. And do you know, beloved, there was never a time but God proved himself. Never a time but we were assured that he went before us, as we are going to see tonight, went before us as we crossed our little Jordan. Oh yes, the children of Israel had proved God time and time again. You remember they had proved God when in salvation. You remember God had said to Moses away back in the book of Exodus in chapter 3. You remember he had said to Moses, I have surely seen the affliction of my people. I have heard their cries. I know their sorrows. And I am come down to deliver them. And we haven't time to go into that delightful story. But you remember how, as they faced that little Jordan, how that the Lord undertook for them. And how that he defeated Pharaoh. And how that they were delivered. They proved God in salvation. And then you remember they had proved God in provision. As they sat yonder inside behind the closed doors with the blood on the doors, you remember, they ate of that roast lamb in perfect peace. They were going out to a fresh Jordan, a Jordan, an experience that they had never had before, a Jordan that they had never crossed. But they were proving God in salvation, in provision, as they went ahead. And then you remember how wonderfully they proved God in the Red Sea experience. You remember there came that time in their lives when they were hedged around, as it were, on every hand. You remember that Pharaoh was behind them. There was mountains on either side of them. The Red Sea rolled before them. Here is another Jordan experience. And you remember, they stood back, stand still, and see the salvation of God. And with Moses' rod striking the waters, the walls went back. And they proved God in that experience. You remember in the experience of the manna, how that they experienced their God in sustaining them. They had another Jordan there, and they experienced God in that great provision. And it lasted with them until as long as they needed it, until they ate of the old corn of the land. You remember that story. Then you remember again that they experienced God in the bitter waters. God knows many of God's dear saints there crossing this Jordan, the bitter waters. Do you remember when they so badly needed a drink of fresh water, they found that the water was bitter? You know what happened, how that Moses, he had to select a particular tree and cut it down, and as it was thrown into the water, the bitter waters were made sweet. And many of our beloved saints of God have proved that. I told you the story the other night in the conference of dear Scott being called home. Didn't tell you about his girlfriend, Yvonne. She's like just like a daughter in our house. That day when I went to see Yvonne, when Scott was killed, she just threw her arms around my neck and she said, Uncle Jack, is this real? We wept together. And I said, Yvonne, the Lord's going to stand by you in this. She said, Uncle Jack, you don't need to tell me, I've proved it already. Oh yes, in the Jordans. He says, I will be with thee, I will not fail thee. He says, I will not forsake thee, I will begin to magnify thee. And the bitter waters were made sweet, because you remember that tree speaks of Calvary. And my dear brethren and sisters in Christ, when we learn to bring the Lord into our every circumstance, and young Christian, it will be good for you if early in your life's experience You learn not only to bring the Lord into the major experiences of life, but bringing him into every experience, you will prove the Lord in a way that you cannot otherwise prove him. That verse was a real blessing to my wife Sadie and I. Commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it. What is the it? It is God's purpose for your life and mine. He shall bring it to pass. And thank God the bitter waters can be made sweet. And after the bitter waters, isn't it nice that there came Elam, rest and contentment. And then you remember, and I'm only going to refer to one other because I could go right through like this. You remember there were the serpents when sin came in. You remember even in their sinning, as they came to this Jordan in their experience, you remember they proved God, and on the confession of their sin there was provision. And oh my dear brethren and sisters, what a joy to know that there is provision in the person of the Lord Jesus. Because that lovely verse that we sometimes quote in the gospel, taking preacher's license, as dear brother Crosley used to say about me when I preached the gospel, that I took preacher's license. Sometimes we do. But that verse that we quote in the gospel is really for the saints of God. If we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Yes, we have had our Jordans, haven't we? And we have proved God. That is up to this Tuesday evening in October 1985. Brethren and sisters, there are going to be other Jordans. And so it was with the children of Israel. Now a crisis day is arriving. God has said, as it were, just out of the blue, without any promise of direction or anything else, he says to the children of Israel, now over this Jordan. Here's a new one. Over this Jordan. And you know, my brethren and sisters, if you read the story carefully, you will discover that it was not until the feet of the priests, the Levites, touched those flood waters, not until that moment that the waters went back, but they did go back. You and I, as we take a step at a time, even in our Jordan, although we cannot see the way, the one who guides us knows the end from the beginning. And so now, as this crisis day arrives, when they were crossing the Red Sea, it was Moses' rod. How is God going to work when it comes to the Jordan? Oh, I love the words of Joshua 3:3. What a thrill they are in these circumstances. And God says to Moses and to the children of Israel, of course, through the lips of his servant Moses. And they commanded the people, saying, when ye see the ark of the covenant of the Lord your God, and then at the end of the verse, go after it. Here is God's answer. Here is God's answer to their Jordan at this particular time. You know, my brethren and sisters, they were going to prove God and know God now in a way that they had never known him before. Had not God already promised, I will be with thee, Israel, relax. And I can imagine you wouldn't fault them, would you? Wouldn't quarrel with them, would you, if their pulses were beating a little bit faster? if their blood pressure had risen a little bit. I can imagine you wouldn't fault them, you wouldn't quarrel with them, would you, if their pulses were beating a little bit faster? If their blood pressure had risen a little bit, you wouldn't quarrel with them, would you? Because we're men and women of like passions as they were. But now you could say to them, Israel, relax, you've got your answer. God is going to be with you. When you go through your Jordan, God is going to be there. My brethren and sisters, that made all the difference. They were going to experience the presence of God as they crossed their Jordan. And so Joshua said in chapter 3 and verse 3, he said, when ye see the Ark of the Covenant. Now, my brethren and sisters, God has given us the honor of knowing much more about that Ark than the children of Israel ever knew. And I want you to think of that Ark today. That Ark doubtlessly speaks of the Lord Jesus. But I want you to see what Israel could see and what they would know in relation to the Ark. And what a comfort that would be. Because they knew that that was the very spot where the presence and the glory, the Shekinah glory of the Lord dwelt in the midst of the cherubim on the mercy seat on the Ark. They would know that the presence of God was there. But I want you to notice one or two things. I want you first of all to remember that now as they are journeying towards Jordan, they have to watch out and get their eye on the Ark. They look at the Jordan, their pressure's going to rise again, you know. But if they get their eye on the Ark, there's going to be that deep peace. You know what I mean. You've experienced it. And I haven't time to tell you about experiences that I have had, and you have had your own experiences. When you were crossing a Jordan that you had never crossed before, and then you realized that God was with you. What a difference that made, didn't it? I want you to notice that ark had to travel 2,000 cubits before the children of Israel on the shoulders of the priests, the Levites. And you would remember it was the Kohathites who would carry that beautiful golden ark of the covenant. And as they did, they were 2,000 cubits, about 3/4 of a mile ahead. Oh, doubtlessly there would be that cloud of pillar above the ark. Certainly there would be. And the children of Israel, they would ever have their eye ahead as they would watch the ark and the pillar cloud above it. But you know, that would teach me something, beloved. They had to treat that ark with the absolute reverence, the greatest reverence that was at their command. They had to treat that ark with reverence. It was a holy place, a place where the glory of the Lord dwelt. You and I, beloved, we cannot be too reverent. Another subject that I'm not going to dwell on, but you and I cannot be too reverent when we come into the presence of God. I'm going to talk about that in a few minutes again. Now, as they would look at that ark, what would they see? Well, actually, what they would see, they would see a covering of blue. They wouldn't see the actual ark. You knew that. They would see an outward covering of blue. And you know, blue speaks of the deity and of the glory of our Lord. They would think, they would see the badger skins. They would, I beg your pardon, they would not see the badger skins, but the badger skins were there underneath the blue. And then there would be that beautiful veil. Now let's start with the veil. And I want us to bring it down into our present day, into the meeting this evening. You and I going forward in His name, there's Jordans ahead of us that we just don't know about. But we do know that the Lord will go before us. He says, I will be with thee. I will not forsake thee. He says, certainly I will be with thee. He said, I will begin to magnify thee. And as I look at the veil, the inner covering right over the ark, as I would see that veil, I would remember that the Lord Jesus trod the path on earth before me. That veil, and there's no doubt at all, because the New Testament scriptures bears it out to the full, the veil, that is to say, His flesh. Our Lord Jesus tempted in all points, like as we are, yet without sin. The Lord has been here before. He is touched with the feelings of our infirmities. There was the veil. And then there was the badger skin. And here there is the humility, there is the subjection. The thought is in the badger skins here, the one of great humility and subjection. Our Lord, the humility of His life made Him stand out away from other men. Men and women, as they watched Him, they marveled. Then there was the covering of blue, which the Israelites would see. And that would remind us of the deity and of the glory of the Lord Jesus. So then, brethren, that ark as it moves along, we see first of all the covering of blue. There's a man in the glory. One who is touched with the feelings of our infirmities. We have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. That one, the badger skin, he was a humble man down here below as he trod the scene of time. He was very man. And He knows all about us in our Jordans as we face them. But more than that, inside the ark what they could not see, and I have to hurry now because that clock... Inside that ark, there was first of all the manna. That would suggest to me that it was the golden pot that held that manna. Every word there is pregnant with meaning. The manna would tell me every provision for the way. Oh, my brethren and sisters, as your Jordan comes, the Lord will give provision and grace for the Jordan, no matter what that Jordan is. There was the tables of law. There was divine guidance there. You and I can be assured of that. There was Aaron's rod that budded, and in just in one word, there was power with God. All this was inside the ark. And my brethren and sisters, at your disposal and mine, as we journey along. God was going before them. Every need would be met. In Joshua chapter 3, we have words like these. It is a new way. Verse 3 says, go after it. Verse 5 says, sanctify yourselves. And we are reminded again that you have not gone this way before. And so, on the shoulders of the priests, the Levites, as their feet touches the flood waters of Jordan, the waters go back, the priests go down. right down into the depths of the River Jordan, with its walls of water on either side. I don't know how wide the passage is. Somebody asked me that the other day, but I just don't know. Anyway, the walls of water on either side. And it would not be stretching it, I would feel, to suggest to you that down yonder now, where they are, in the very bed of Jordan, it's just a semi-dark. Semi-light, whichever way you want to put it. The sun will be more or less obscure. And here's the thought that I've enjoyed, brethren and sisters. Yonder, as they're coming along the sands of the desert, and the sun is shining, and everything's looking all right, 3/4 of a mile distance. But now, as the ark stops, as the Levites stop, and the ark is on the shoulders of the Levites, down in the depths of Jordan, the children of Israel begin to follow. And in the depths of the Jordan, they're right beside the ark. Oh, to me, that has been a great encouragement. You remember the words, don't you? When thou passest through the waters, Isaiah 43:2, when thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. In the darkest spot, all that the ark meant to Israel, all that the ark means to you and I tonight is true. Word of God has been proven true again. I will do with thee. I will not forsake thee. I will not fail thee. I will begin to magnify thee. So they went through the Jordan. I would love to take time to talk about those 24 stones, 12 that were left in as to a memorial that they had been in the place of death. 12 set up on the other side of Jordan, telling of God's deliverance out of Jordan and a testimony to God's power in that direction. And then I would have loved to have talked to you about those 2.5 tribes. Oh, they loved the easy way. They were prepared not to face. Oh, I know they went over Jordan to help their brethren, but they weren't going to go on into the land of Canaan. They loved the wilderness. So many of dear saints of God, they only go so far, and they're not prepared to trust God. They like what they see, and they stay, and they're not prepared to put their hand into the hand of God. And they miss so many wonderful experiences that God has for them. Because, beloved, as I close, please remember that every Jordan that you and I pass is going to be to our blessing. I can remember, and I'm not telling you the story, but I can remember many years ago, our little fellow down in the islands, he swallowed sugar apple seed and it went down and stopped in his right bronchus here, the entrance to the lung, and we had to bring him right away up from the West Indies to the States for surgery which eventually he didn't need because they got the seed removed. But we proved God there. We had a Jordan. Oh, it was a difficult one at the time in many ways, but we proved God. I can remember lying waiting for surgery. The doctor said there was only a 50-50 chance of survival, open heart surgery, valve replacement. It was a Jordan. But we proved God in a way that we couldn't have otherwise proved him. And I would not want to be without those Jordans. Because in the darkness you prove him, he has said, certified, I will be with thee. May God bless his word.